Daydreaming About Dragons. I was listening to the Friends at the Table podcast, particularly their Under Hollow Hills game, and I'll put a link in the show notes, during a trip recently to support a family member. And my buddy Luke came up with a really cool thing, and I talked about it with them, and it's gotten me thinking a lot about gaming and how we describe our games, right? What language we use to describe. And in the game, Luke mentions that very often we default to kind of a movie language, right? With panning shots and close-ups and then, two-person faraways and all that kind of fun stuff. I don't know if a two-person faraway is the name of an actual shot or if I'm just making things up. So if you actually do this for a living and I'm butchering your lingo, I sincerely apologize. So Luke said something really interesting. In the game, they talked about using theater language and language from the stage for Under Hollow Hills, because you're trying to catch a kind of Midsummer Night's Dream vibe, right? And that's super fun. So, and you know what? If you want to watch I don't know if it's cool. If you want to watch Midsummer Night's Dream, I will also have a link in the show notes to Mid and then Friends. I'll have a link in the show notes to a Midsummer Night's Dream that's on YouTube right now. So, and I had problems with that production. It wasn't great. It was interesting, and it was well done. Cool. Little nitpicks. But overall, really, really cool to see. So using theater language, right? Instead of, a fading shot and talking about how the scene fades from one shot to another, talking about closing the curtains, upstage, downstage, stepping out of the light, right? Because if you're out of the light, then people can't see you. So I just thought that was really interesting. And talking about, what the scenery looks like and how it's wrought is really neat, even if you're there, right? Even if your characters are there, it's cool to think of how it's being performed, how it's being shown. I just love it. It just adds like this kind of interesting level of artifice over everything that I think is really damned interesting. And it also got me thinking about our Thief of the Necromancer game. And again, I'll put a link to Thief of the Necromancer in the show notes. It is a baker joint, so it's pretty cool. And I'll also include our playlist, so you can watch it on YouTube if you'd like. So I picture our Thief and Necromancer game as a bunch of short stories, a bunch of old short stories in faded, pages yellowed, soft covers that I would have found in a used bookstore when I was 15. The kind of author who was publishing at around the same time as Clark Ashton Smith and Lieber and Howard. And it's an interesting thing it's an interesting layer to add over things, to think, hey, these adventures are short stories. They were in all these different books, and the author isn't known. Right? No one knows who the author is. It's this huge, in literary circles, it's a huge debate about who they were and why certain stories, why the adventures went certain ways and why the people hunting the Thief and the Necromancer in, the first episode don't come up until much later, because the person was selling short stories and really didn't think they were ever going to write these characters again. And it's just a fun, interesting thing to think about. And I described something, I did it again because I was describing something in a kind of cyberpunk apocalypse world game I'm running with my buddy Jay. And the characters keep, there's a thing in the setting where whether or not you believe that there are aliens on Mars and alien life. And when people ask, they ask you, are you a believer or are you not? And when I say every time, you know, the word believer has a capital B. You can hear it. And, you know, if this was a science fiction story, if this was a novel or, you know, one in a science fiction series, then you'd be able to see it because the B would be capital. But it's not. So I've got to tell you, hey, it's a capital B. You can hear that capital B. You can feel that it's something special to be a believer. And it just gets me thinking about what kind of media would be capturing that game, right? Would it be a series of really thin, you know, cyberpunk novels that came out in the 80s, and now it's being adapted for a sci-fi miniseries? I don't know. I love thinking about that stuff. I think it's a lot of fun, and it adds. It helps you narrow. I think it could be a tool to help you narrow down the tone, and a fun way to talk about the game, and why the setting is the way it is, and where maybe, you know, a good way to talk about influences, because you can kind of, I don't know, add like a layer of fiction over the fiction, which is fun. It's just a fun way to talk about. You know, I talked a couple episodes ago about, you know, making book covers for a game, and I think it could be really fun to think about where those book covers came from and who wrote it and why. I just think it's interesting. It's really interesting to think about what language are you using? What jargon? What lingo are you using when you talk about these games and you describe the, you know, what's happening in the scene? You know, because you can do that with all kinds of ways. You can have a character lie to another character and then be like, yeah, your character might not know you're lying, but you can tell they're lying, right? The music is playing and you can tell that a lie just got told, because that's kind of how it gets cued, right? A lie that's going to put someone in danger is shot entirely differently very often than a truth that is, you know, just something honest. So you can say like, hey, you can tell the player can tell that this is a lie because of the way that it's shot and the way that the music, you know, swells when they say it. But the character doesn't know, you know? And I just think that's damned interesting. And I wonder if we need to talk about that more. So thank you, Luke. And thank you, friends at the table. I appreciate your podcast. I'm looking forward to listening to more. It's good stuff. I love learning new things, you know, as we go. This hobby has depth. You know, one of my coaches, Pabs, used to say, it's simple, but it ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And that's what I think about. It's simple, right? Ask questions, act on the answers. Be excited about what the players are doing and what they're making, and be a fan of it. But that's not easy. It's not exactly easy. And I'm, you know, 30 years later, 30 plus years later, I'm still learning new stuff, which I love. That's great. That's what I'm thinking about today. That is what I'm thinking about today. And now we go to the Inspiration Goat. See what the IG has to say to us. What's the IG putting on the table today? Cool. One second before the Inspiration Goat gets to bleeding, I've got to make some corrections. I think the Midsummer Night's Dream from the Globe Theater YouTube channel has been taken down, so I couldn't put that link up there. Luke's podcast, in which they play Under Hollow Hills, is not from Friends at the Table, but at Feelings First. I had the F right and nothing else. So I've got a link to that in the show notes, the Feeling First podcast, Under Hollow Hills. I also have a link to Under Hollow Hills. I also have a link to Luke's game company, Games from the Wild Woods, which, oh shit, is it Wild Woods or Wild Wood? Oh no. Will I leave this in or will I take it out? It's Games from the Wild Wood, singular, one wood. Games from the Wild Wood. Luke says really interesting things. Every moment that we game, I'm really having fun riffing with them during our Thief and Necromancer game. It's been the high point of that game has been meeting Luke and getting to riff with them and say cool things and just have that and watch Strauss and Lauren interact with all that. So check out their games. It's cool stuff. And that's about it. I just wanted to make some corrections because I said some stuff that was wrong. And that's the way it works. All right. Now we can get to some Inspiration Goat stuff. Good one, Inspiration Goat. Very top of the moment. So we're going to talk about Old Guard. The Old Guard. Netflix movie just came out, starring Charlize Theron, directed by Gina Prince Bythewood. Cool stuff. Highlander-ish immortals, John Wick vibe. You know, someone gets killed by a judo throw. They get spiked right on their head. I'm digging it. You know, judo throws when there's not a mat or no joke, and judo throws when you've got, you know, a 700-year-old martial arts master tossing you are going to be on a whole other level. So absolutely loving it, digging it. Cool. Highlander meets the Scooby Gang from Buffy meets John Wick. Yes, I'm in. It was fun. It was a fun 2 hours, a fine way to spend 2 hours. So what do I want to talk about? Here's what I want to talk about. There's a way that the team worked where the team just vibes together, and the way they moved together was really cool, right? They clearly like trained room clearing and moved together really smooth. And it's, you know, it's a camera, so they get the best shot, and I'm digging it. Cool. So let's talk about that, how to portray a team that's been around together for a really long time in a game when they haven't been. They absolutely have not been. And sometimes you don't have years to create that vibe, that you know, found family vibe. So how do you do that? Well, you ask questions is what you do. You ask questions of the players and you let them answer, and the vibe slowly starts to get created and manufactured, right? And you can ask them questions like, you know, you all, you know, the city guard surrounds the party of 20th level adventurers. The paladin takes out their sword. What do you all do? How can that when does that group realize, as an initiative is being rolled, how does that group realize that they are in deep shit, right? When does the city guard notice, like, oh, like someone notices right away? You know, maybe the city guard sergeant who's been in a ton of wars. She's fought beside demigods. She notices that you all are real trouble right away. What does she see? What does she notice? And I love that kind of question. It's a cool question. I learned it from a trophy incursion, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's a good one. And I think, and I will name it in just a moment. I've got to look it up, and we'll just keep going. I think the question is good. Like, asking how someone else notices something is just interesting tech. Right? The paper flesh advent. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's on itch.io. And that's where I learned that question, where there was a question in the paper flesh advent that we talked about in the trophy podcast that I am honored to co-host with Jason Cordova. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. You want to hear me some more? Not sick of me yet? There you go. Episode 1 is out. Episode 2 should be out pretty soon. So you can check that out. In the adventure, there's a question that says, you know, who does the approaching, you know, NPCs think is the leader by looking at you all? And I love that. It's just a cool way to say something about the group. And I just think it's cool. And I think it could be a really nice tool for creating that we've been together a long time vibe, right? When do they notice that you two have fought together for decades? And you can ask other questions. You know, it doesn't have to be fighty questions. It could be little questions. Hey, when was the last time you two had a really bad fight? A really bad row? What was it over? You know, and have those players answer, oh, I know, it was totally about religion. You know, because I worship the sun and she worships the moon. And we have differences of opinion about the way light should work and the way faith should work and what different festivals mean and why we celebrate them and what we should be getting out of them and learning from them. And it you know, usually we enjoy the differences, but this one time it bit us. Cool. And the players can, there are techniques the players can do too. There was one really cool Blades in the Dark game where Jay over Mad, you know, his Twitter handle is Mad Jay, joined our game, and his character had been in our group, right? His character had been in the crew when they were back in the Unity War. And at one point, my other friend Jason said to Jay, when he did something really cool, he was like, man, I missed you. And it was such a cool moment. It was like, because it made Mad Jay's character, Jamal's character, so cool, so much even cooler than he already was by doing something cool. It was like, man, you do this type of stuff all the time, and I love it, and I've missed it. And it was really a neat moment. So the players can lean into it. They can lean into that, you know, that vibe of having been together for a long time. And if you see that there are starting to be problems and interpersonal problems, you can change it. You know, you can say, hey, guys, you guys are all leaning into the differences of your characters. What do you all love about each other? You know, we don't have to do this in-game, but out of game, tell me what your character, why your character loves this other character who they're now fighting with. What do they love about them? And that way we can get back to it, right? You can have a conversation. If things are starting to, there's starting to be that, you know, incessant arguing, you can, out of game, concentrate on something good and then circle back, right? It makes it easier for the other player to play into what the character loves. And that way you can all kind of circle back together towards, you know, having some fun and not being so fighty and arguey. Because that's the thing about family, right? Family fights. And that's cool, but sometimes in the game it can drag shit down. You know? It can really drag shit down. And you know, you gotta ask questions sometimes to defang that and get back on track. And tell the players, listen, the fighting is a bit much. I'm not having fun watching this. I'm not having fun playing with this. I know family fights, that's cool, but let's get back to something a little more positive. So that's what I'm thinking about. Watching the old guard, thinking about how they moved as a unit, how they operated as a family, just little ways that they made each other look cool and appreciated each other, bickered with each other a little bit, how some things that were the same about two characters ended up driving them apart. Really good stuff. I think there are a lot of good questions you can ask about that. So that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm thinking about this week. And I'd love to hear what you think about it. There'll be more info on how to contact me with how you show that your character, that the characters at the table are a longtime family in the outro. Let's get to it. Let's get to the outro. Thank you so much for listening. The fastest and easiest way to support the show is to drop me a tweet, a toot, if you're on Mastodon, if you're one of the three people. Drop me an email at judd.karlman@gmail.com. Or you can use the Anchor app to send me a message. Or you can email me an MP3 if that's easier. If you don't like how the Anchor app, you have to leave the message is a minute at a time. It's supposed to be a minute reply. If you want to leave something a little bit longer, that's great too. Record it on your phone. Send me the MP3. I'd love to grab it. I'm not able to use every reply, but I love them all, and I love to hear from you. So let me know if anything that you heard today resonated with you, or I missed something, or I mischaracterized something, or something doesn't line up with your experience, that's cool. Hit me up. I'd love to hear what your experience is. So as long as you come at it with love and respect, I will reply in kind. And the other way to support the show right now is to, if you were like, oh man, I just want to give this show some money. There are some charities I have in the links, because Black Lives Matter, and you know the cameras might be gone, but people are still in the streets, and I want to contribute in any way I can. So I'm giving the money that I am making to various charities, and you know, it's not a lot of money that I'm making on the show, but it's something, and people are kind enough to give, and I love that. So right now, that's going to charities. So if you're really interested, you want to cut up the middleman, go ahead and give to those charities too, and that'd be great. I also support Patreons, and I definitely keep an eye out for Patreons by marginalized creators. They're not all that way. They're not all marginalized, but I'm reaching. So as I get more money in the supporters, I'll support more folks in the community so that we can have more creativity and I can get more cool ideas. Inspiration Goat gets more cool stuff to chew on. It's a beautiful symbiotic cycle. But right now, I'm not thinking about the beautiful symbiotic cycle of creativity. I'm thinking about, justice. And that's how you can support the show right now. If you do, drop me a line. Let me know. Say, hey, you know, I was going to, and then I kind of forgot, and you posted those links up, and I ended up doing it from there, and that was really nice. Thanks. Great. I'd love to hear from you. Anything like that is wonderful. And if you're already giving, wonderful. Thank you. So that's where I'm at. I hope you're having a good week. Hope your gaming is going well. Hope you're washing your hands and wearing a mask and keeping it close. And I hope your isolation isn't too isolated. All right? Summer is upon us, and I hope you're having a good one. And I will see you very soon. I'll see you in a week. Might be sooner. I might get a reply show out this week. We'll see. I hear good things. I hear good things are coming towards the replies. So see how that goes. Cool. Either way, I'll see you in a few.